The readings will be found in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, and is to be found on page 1161 in the Church Bible. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Francis. The bit of the Bible that Francis was reading from there is part of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to some a church, early Christians in a place called Corinth in Greece a couple of thousand years ago. And they'd wavered in their commitment to follow Paul as their leader. But more importantly, they'd wavered in their commitment to Jesus and the good news of Jesus. And one of the issues was that for Corinthians, it was the way to go was was pride in achievement and in looking good. And these Christians in Corinth thought, to be honest, they thought Paul was a bit shabby. And, you know, they didn't think that he looked like a Holy Spirit-filled apostle of Jesus Christ in their eyes. So Paul, in response, he sets out principles, privileges and challenges of lifelong evangelism, of telling the good news of Jesus to others. And today, as we start on this sort of next stage of St. Patrick's, I think it's 112-year history now, of making Jesus known to people, grasping the principles that Paul lays out in this little passage is as vital for us as it was for those Corinthians. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this letter. We thank you for the good news of Jesus. And as we look at this passage together, Holy Spirit, would you help us to get a deeper understanding and wonder of your good news of Jesus, that we would want to tell others about it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I really am delighted that today we launch our refreshed vision for evangelism, making Jesus known. Thank you, Lorna, for helping. I didn't even think of that, Lorna. That was great. We didn't work that out beforehand, that we should all say that together. You may remember earlier in the year we had some sermons on evangelism, and we anticipated today, and we emphasised at that time that this is something for us to do together as a church family. There's personal evangelism, we want everyone to carry on, but this is about doing it together as St. Patrick's, working together, encouraging each other to bring the good news of Jesus through all the different activities that we do at St. Patrick's. But why do we tell people about Jesus, and how do we go about it? Well, we're going to use Paul's principles in this passage to have a look at those questions, and we're going to answer them by making a sandwich. Okay, we're going to have two slices of whys, why on the bottom, why on the top, and the filling in the middle is the hows. If you don't like sandwiches, ignore that illustration, just hang on to the headings. But first of all, this bottom slice of our sandwiches, why do we share the good news of Jesus, is in verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We're called to be part of God's ministry, the ministry of making Jesus known, because of God's mercy, because of his huge, immeasurable kindness to us, to you and me. Does that surprise you? Because when I started to look at this passage, it really made me think. You know, I've got a couple of main motivations for telling other people about Jesus. One, sometimes it's about I'm so overwhelmed with God's love that he's rescued me from hell that I deserve that I want to tell other people. Other times, and if I'm honest, probably more often, when I'm hesitant to tell others about Jesus, I focus on the fact that Jesus commands us to do it. You look in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of people. But here, Paul tells us it's because of God's mercy that we have this ministry. Now, God only gives us good things. So that means that sharing the good news is good for us. It's good for us because we can be encouraged because, well, God trusts us to do it for a start. It's good because we see others hearing about Jesus and hopefully coming to know Jesus for themselves personally. And it's good because we see God at work and our wonder of him and our worship of him would grow. However we can and to ever we can, introducing and pointing people to Jesus is by God's mercy. Every opportunity to invite someone to church, to lunch club, to the new We Love Hymns, wrong title, but that one that Martin just mentioned, to a drop-in on Tuesdays or Thursdays, to Cameo, to Splat, to Stay and Play, to a Hope Explored, all those are opportunities. Each opportunity to share Jesus, for me to say how precious he is, to me, for you to say how precious he is to you. All those are opportunities by God's mercy for our good, encouraging us to keep going in making Jesus known. So why do we tell others about Jesus? Because of God's mercy. That's the bottom of our sandwich. So let's move on to the fill-in, shall we? How do we go about the ministry of making Jesus known? Well, I've picked out three fillings. There's probably a lot more, but I've just picked out three. I don't like too much in my sandwiches. Firstly, simplicity, keeping it simple. In verse 2, Paul says, do not distort the word of God. Set forth the truth plainly, he says. And in verse 5, he says, what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is deep, it's profound, it's amazing, but it's straightforward. The Bible's clear. Every one of us, you and me, we deserve to go to hell because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God. But in his love, God sent Jesus. Jesus took our deserved punishment, dying on the cross, offering forgiveness of our sins. All we need to do is accept that offer, that free gift, to repent, to say we're truly sorry, and turn round away from that old life and commit to follow Jesus. That's all we need to do. And that means when we do that, because Jesus beat death, because he was raised to life, it means that because we follow Jesus, when we die, we too will be raised to life to live with him, Jesus, God, forever. That's what we need to tell others. Paul says, don't distort that message. The word that Paul uses for distort means sort of watered down. That's what some of the wine merchants were doing at the time. Maybe some of our publicans do it with the beer. I don't know. Some of it tastes pretty awful. We mustn't dilute the good news of Jesus. We mustn't dilute it so that it fits in with what culture wants the church to do. We mustn't water it down so that it makes it a bit more comfortable for us to be able to tell people about Jesus. And in verse 5, Paul emphasises, keep it plain. Plainly, clearly talk about Jesus. Don't twist the truth of the message. Don't add things and take away things about Jesus. Don't take scripture out of context. Don't give false expectations. Don't talk about it in a way that makes me feel better or that promotes my own personal views. Keep it simple. Talk about the Lord Jesus. In verse 5, our version says, preach Jesus as Lord. Well, a better translation really would be the word proclaim or announce, because the next chapter, Paul tells us, if we're Christians, we're ambassadors. We're representing Jesus and announcing the good news about Jesus, proclaiming that good news. Proclaim the plain truth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and that it's only through him that we can be rescued from the hell we deserve into a glorious, eternal relationship with God. So that's our first filling, simplicity, keep it simple. Our second filling, the main filling, is God's power. Verse 6, you remember in our activity I said that if we've given our life to Jesus, it means that he has transformed the darkness in our lives with the glorious, the marvellous light of the good news, the gospel of Jesus. When we become a Christian, God causes our heart to see the glory, the love, the wonder of Jesus, causing us to want to worship him, causing us to want to tell other people about him. And in verse 7, Paul describes this deep knowledge, this deep understanding, this deep conviction about the gospel. He calls it this treasure. This treasure. It's a beautiful description. The good news of Jesus is this treasure. And I think it helps us to understand why in verse 1, it talks about God's mercy. Because it's God's treasure, and in his mercy, he gives us to share. It's a beautiful description of the good news. But in verse 7, Paul's not so complimentary about you and me. Jars of clay, he calls us, if we're Christians. Clay jars, just everyday things, ordinary containers that get battered, cracked, and dispensable. If you don't know what a clay jar is and you can't relate to that, think of an old carrier bag, Sainsbury's carrier bag, that's crumpled and been used many times. It's got a split where bits fall out of it. One of the handles is broken and you keep stuffing it in the boot of your car till you use it the next time. Paul wants us to be clear that we're not the treasure. We're not the treasure of the good news of Jesus, but we are that crumpled bag. We're the crumpled bag that carry, if we're Christians, the treasure of the good news of Jesus. That supremely valuable, wonderful message of Jesus the Saviour. That's been entrusted to us, messy, crumpled, worn, dispensable human beings, with all our weaknesses, all our idiosyncrasies, all our shortcomings. Paul wants us to know that every Christian, whoever we are, we're all clay pots. We're all crumpled carrier bags when it comes to holding the treasure of the good news of Jesus. And the reason he emphasises that point, this is the filling of the sandwich, is that in verse 7 again, is to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The gospel of Jesus holds power. We sang it, I think, in the first or second song. There is power in the name of Jesus, in the good news of Jesus. That's God's power working in people's hearts so that they might turn to Jesus. Our shortcomings, our weaknesses, was part of God's merciful strategy, if you like, so that he works through us, and he's the one who's seen to work through our weaknesses. So he's honoured, not us. It's a great humbling and a great encouraging reminder that every one of us is equal when we seek to make Jesus known. However impressive or however weak our witness might appear, we're all the same. We're all that crumpled carrier. Because it's God's all-surpassing power that makes the difference and is the essential filling in our sandwich today. So if you feel average, or if you feel less than average, like me so often, in your ability to share the good news of Jesus and make Jesus known, well, you're the person that God is looking for. A crumpled bag who simply shares the treasure of the gospel, trusting God's all-surpassing power to do the rest. So simplicity and God's power, that's the two feelings. The last feeling I want to mention is perspective. People who know me know that this is a word, if you've done the Hope Explorer, for instance, you know that this is a word that I find really, really helpful in my walk with Jesus. In verses 8 to 13, Paul's honest. He pulls no punches. He says, being a Christian is often not easy. Sometimes for a whole range of reasons and circumstances, we feel weary, we feel useless, we feel disillusioned, we feel crushed, we feel even persecuted maybe. Carrying the treasure of the gospel in the scruffy carrier bags of our lives as we seek to tell Jesus in our conversations or through our lifestyles, well, it can be daunting. But that shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus said that to follow him means to deny ourselves and take up our cross. He says that in three of the Gospels, Luke 9, for instance, if you want to look it up after. And making Jesus known is a battle. We sang about that as well, actually. Whoever chose the songs did really well this week. Making Jesus known is a battle. Because as we seek to tell others, and this is verse 4, it tells us, it's the God of this age, that's Satan, that's the devil, the God of this age, is doing whatever he can to keep people in the dark, out of the light and the power and the truth of Jesus. But these battles, our inadequacies, our struggles, our sufferings, provide the platform for God to display his all-surpassing power. We can trust God. In verse 13, Paul quotes, and he connects us to the psalmist, of the person who wrote Psalm 116 in the Old Testament, something like 1,000 years before Jesus, maybe. This writer was going through distress, sorrow, anguish. But as he wrote, he was able to put things into perspective. He praised God as he wrote, because he knew that although he was suffering, he knew that God was watching over in him and was delivering him. And Paul here helps us to put our lives in an even better perspective, because that psalmist wouldn't have known about Jesus. Verse 14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself. Sometimes you might feel like at the end of your tether. But when we put things into perspective as Christians, we are never at the end of our hope. Of course, you know, I'm sure you're the same as me. You'd rather not suffer. I'd rather not suffer as I live and speak out for Jesus. But when we do, we know it's worth it. We know that Jesus is worth it. We know that the best is yet to come, when Jesus returns to take us into that eternal glory, to be with him forever. Perspective, an eternal perspective. That's the filling of our sandwich. Simplicity, God's power, and perspective. Eternal perspective. With God's mercy on the bottom. And on the top slice, verse 15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. We do it. The ministry of telling other people about the good news is to the glory, for the glory of God. God in his mercy has given us the job of making Jesus known. He wants us to keep that message simple, consistent with his word, consistent with the Bible, not distorted, not watered down. And he uses us, crumpled carrier bags, clay pots, to carry and to share that treasure, the treasure of the good news of Jesus, so that his power, his all-surpassing power, will be seen at work. God knows we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle in our witness or because of our circumstances. But he says, don't lose heart, persevere, because the glory of eternal life, our hope in Jesus, is certain. As we go about making Jesus known, in and through all the activities of St. Patrick's, in and through our witnesses, we tell people about Jesus and in our lifestyles, in and through all of our weaknesses, of our crumpled bags, God will be glorified. And that's how it should be. I want you just to pick up your cards that you've got, if you would. I wanted just to have a look at the other side. We're going to pray this prayer together in a moment, the prayer at the top, but I just want to quickly explain the other three bits. When we tell people about Jesus, sometimes it's really hard. One way of making that a bit easier is to know for yourself straight away how Jesus works in your life. My story, I've called it on the back of this card. This is for you to write down something about why Jesus is so precious to you. Maybe something specific he's doing now, or when you became a Christian. You write it down in your words or a picture or whatever. When you write it down, it becomes part of you. You can keep reading it. And when you get the opportunity to talk to somebody, you can say, well, look, when that happened to me, Jesus, blah, 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 your story. Or it may be a particular Bible verse. A Bible verse that's precious to you. That could change, of course, as well. But you're talking to somebody and you can say, do you know what? When that happened to me, I found this verse in Psalm 116 so helpful. And you can show them the verse in the Bible. They can't argue with your story or your verse because it's about you. But it might give you the opportunity to go on and talk a bit more about Jesus. Or to say, look, why don't you come along to something at St. Patrick's where you can hear a bit more? And that's the last bit. Who can I invite? Well, you know, who can you invite? Who can you talk to about Jesus? Who can you bring them along to Splat or hymns, lovely hymns, and lunch club and all those? I'll get the name right eventually. Sorry, Martin. We love hymns. And, anything like bring them along. If you're not confident in talking about Jesus, bring them along and someone here will talk about Jesus. It's a Bible story for children and their parents at Splat or at Stay and Play. It's the service after lunch club and so on and so forth. I'm going to just give you a couple of minutes, if that's all right, David. Just a couple of minutes. I just want you to quietly just look at these questions. Now, you might want to take it home and might write something now, but you might be actually urging to write something on this card now. If you do and you haven't got a pen, stick your hand up, and Andy and the wardens have got some pens. They will see you and they will give you a pen. We're going to have a couple of minutes of quiet while you do that, and then we'll pray that prayer. As you're still thinking or maybe writing, let me just say to people who are on the live stream, I know you haven't seen the card. Let me just hold it up for you. Making Jesus known. I don't know if you'd be able to see it. You can get close to your screen or whatever. Get these cards from the office. They'll get in Rachel will get in touch with me and we'll get them to you when you're next in the church and so on. I also just want to say that, you know, if you're not part of our church at St. Patrick's, you can use the card however you want. There's maybe a way that you can use it. Because wherever we are as a Christian, we want others to know Jesus. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, well, maybe when we pray the prayer in a moment, maybe the prayer for you will be, please give me confidence to follow Jesus. Or today, I am going to follow Jesus. So why don't you get your cards and we'll pray this prayer out loud together, shall we? Dear God, please give me confidence to name Jesus, share my faith, and invite people to activities at St. Pat's. Amen.